Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Amen. Because he's truly worthy to be praised, saints. You know, I always say it doesn't matter what we're going through, God is still worthy. That's right, Mother, we do. Praise ye the Lord. And you know what? We go through a lot of heartache and pain. But at the end of the day, we still can say God is still good. Amen. You know, we got health issues. We got things going on with our body. We're in pain, going through financial difficult. Life is hard. But at the end of our day, those saints know what I'm talking about. When you get along with God and you meditate on him and you talk to him and you read his word, you have to conclude that God is still good. Amen. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Still good. There is a word from the Lord, saints. And would you stand and please turn to 2 Timothy. The 4th chapter. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. What a mighty God we serve. But we got to serve him. Starting with verse 1, and I'm going to read down to verse 4. 2 Timothy, I keep on trying to say Corinthian, but 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 4. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. We prove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming, Timothy, when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they would accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening, listen to that saint, from listening to the truth, and wander off into myth. You may be seated. And some translation may say fables. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for our opportunity again to stand before your people. No amount of preparation, no amount of education, no amount of money, no amount of status can fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I completely yield to you because you are the only one, Lord, that is the true preacher. I ask you, Lord, to open up the hearts and the mind of your people so they may hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Lord, conform my mind, my body, my lips, into an instrument of righteousness, Lord, that you may be able to use for your glory. I stand here completely yield to you, asking you, Lord, to do a work through me that only you can do. Lord, I just thank you again for your son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the cross, Lord, that we proclaim. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, through the preaching of your word, that you would meet every need, Lord, that is here this morning. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you will heal through the preaching of your words, Lord, in such a way that only you can do. It's in your son Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Today's text, again, will be 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. As I studied this chapter of 2 Timothy, I have gained a new respect for Paul the Apostle. You know, every time you study the Word of God, you realize the closer you get to God, how much you are messed up, or how much we are messed up. Because the Word of God regulates our mind. And when we are going about through life, we realize when we read the Word of God that a lot of things that we say, do, and think is just not right. And a lot of times we're not even in the same ballpark. But my new respect for Paul in studying this verse is just profound. I'm talking about me personally. Because when we open up this text and you see exactly what Paul went through, in order to get the gospel across, you're going to be appalled, because I was. To give you a little background and to set the scene before we get into verse 1 of chapter 4, listen to what Paul is going through. Listen to what is going on in this chapter. Paul is a prisoner of Rome. In 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter, he's a Roman prisoner. Paul writes this letter of 2 Timothy to his son Timothy in the ministry. This letter was written about 5 years after 1 Timothy. This letter is the apostle's last letter recorded. Paul's final thoughts to his son. This is the letter that Paul is penning in 2 Timothy. Paul is condemned as a criminal, awaiting his beheading from the sword of Nero upon his neck. Paul is in a cold, damp, dark dungeon, chained up. Paul is forsaken in jail by many of so-called Christians. This is the scene of 2 Timothy. Paul is on death row. He's waiting his execution. But in the midst of this, he pens 2 Timothy, saints. Think about that. As I read and studied this verse, my heart goes out to Paul. A man that writes the word of God, that lives and preaching the word of God, he's in a cell awaiting execution, and his mind is on writing a letter to his son in the ministry in order to further the gospel. Think about that, young people. There's a news flash on Fox, a news flash on CNN. That one of the saints in the ministry is getting ready to be executed by the U.S. government for preaching the gospel. He didn't murder anyone. He didn't extort anyone. But he's on death row for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Saints, I can't help from imagining the scene of Timothy when he's in Ephesus. He's not with Paul. Think about this. When Timothy learned about the murder of his father in the ministry, he looks at this letter that he wrote while he was waiting execution. And now this letter is in his hand. 2 Timothy was Paul's last will and testament. And his example of writing this letter, his last will and testament, Paul brings out some very important points. He gives Timothy some warnings about the people in the church. And specifically, he talks about two people. In this last will and testament, Paul warns Timothy about two types of people in the church. One, those who love the world. Secondly, those who oppose the truth. Paul took his time to write a letter to Timothy warning him about these people in the church. The one who seek after the world and the one who oppose the gospel message of Jesus Christ. We don't know who they are. We can't tell just by looking at them who they are. But look at 2 Timothy 4 and 10. Look at it. It talks about those who love the world. 2 Timothy 4 and 10. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Saints, Demas is a guy that's supposed to be ministering with Paul, but when Paul got arrested for preaching the gospel, he deserts Paul. Paul is warning Timothy of this character trait that is in Demas. The second one, those who oppose the truth. Turn to 2 Timothy 3 and 8. The second group, 2 Timothy 3 and 8. Janus and Jambres oppose Moses. So these men also oppose the truth. Here's the truth again. Men corrupt in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. These guys are a corrupt in mind and they disqualify as a leader. Paul is warning Timothy of the same characteristic in the church. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. Alexander, the coppersmith, did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deed. Timothy, beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. Saying these are the two type of people in the church that Paul took time while he was on death row to warn his son in the ministry about. Those who love the world. Those who oppose the truth. In verses, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In verses 1, 2, and 5. Paul gives Timothy a charge. Specifically in verse 1 and 2, Paul charged Timothy to fulfill his calling, preach the word, to be diligent in at all time, to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort. This is in verse 1 and 2. I charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom. Verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Verse 5, as for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. In verse 5, Paul charged Timothy to remain alert at all times. You're dealing with dangerous people. Even though they may not have a weapon in their hand, there's still danger when it comes to the church. Bear up under persecution. Evangelize the field. Go outside these four walls, Timothy. Utilize your ministry to the fullness. Then Paul final warning to Timothy about these people in verse 3 and 4. For the time is coming when people would not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teaching to suit their own passions and will turn away from even listening. I don't even want to hear the truth and wander off into myths. And your Bible may say fables. So let's get into this verse. Let's get into this message. Verse 1 of chapter 4 in 2 Timothy. I charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing in the kingdom. Paul reminds Timothy in verse 1 of his calling. I charge you in the presence of God and Jesus. Paul wants Timothy to remember that God and Christ is present now, and they are witnessing to your call. They are witnesses to your calling. Timothy, God and Christ Jesus has signed off on your calling. Paul is reminding Timothy that his calling is very important. God and Christ will hold you accountable for your calling, Timothy. Because their ultimate call is from the Trinity. These are the ones that have called you, Timothy. This is a very serious calling. This is a very serious charge on your hands, Timothy. So I'm reminding you, Timothy, of what you're supposed to be doing when it comes to the gospel, Timothy. You can't look to the left or to the right. Timothy, you got to stand still and preach the word. Timothy, you can't get caught up, Timothy, in this world. You can't have your mind infiltrated by this world, Timothy. Look again at verse 1. Who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear who can destroy both the soul and the body and put them in hell. Matthew 10:28. God judges his people by how faithful we are to scripture while serving in his kingdom. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Timothy, remember how important your call is to God in Christ Jesus. Timothy, you're going to be held accountable. Saints, you're going to be held accountable for the gospel entrusted to you. Young people, you're going to be held accountable for the gospel assigned to your hand. Just because you're in school doesn't mean you get a bypass on studying and reading the Word of God. You have a calling. You have a calling to preach the Word of God. Verse 2. Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Timothy, preach the word. The word of God must be the centerpiece of every Christ-centered ministry. Christian must always proclaim the scripture. We must teach the word of God consistently, preaching, teaching, witnessing with the Christ of the gospel. We have no other choice as believers in Christ but to preach the word of God, saints. We have no other choice, young people, but to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you become a Christian, young people, you are a slave. You are a slave to Jesus Christ. You have no other master besides Jesus Christ. He is your regulator. He tells you when to get up. He tells you when to go down. He is your all in all if you are a slave of Christ. Preach the word, Timothy. As Christian, we have to realize that only the gospel can give healing to your soul. Only the gospel can give peace to your soul. Only the word of God can give peace to your mind. Only the word of God can prevent you from fornicating. Only the word of God can prevent you from shacking up. Only the word of God can convince you to get off drugs. Only the word of God can stop you from smoking, doping, drinking. Only the word of God, saints, can heal. Only the word of God. You can try faith-based programs all you want to, but only the gospel of Jesus Christ can heal a soul that don't have peace. That's why, saints, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You can confess to be a follower of Christ, then shrink back at the very message that supposedly transformed your life. It's not easy to preach or teach the word of God, but saints, it's our calling. Guard the word, study the word, and preach the word, saints. Guard the word, saints. Study the word, preach the word. That's our calling. There are many popular preachers and teachers today, but not many of them have power. Popular to the world, but not pleasing to God. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? James 4:4. Don't you know that being a friend with the world makes you an enemy of Christ? Don't you know that loving this world and all that it has makes you in opposition to Christ? Don't you know that, saints? So why do we continue to love this world that we live in? Why is that a love relationship with this world when it calls us to be an enemy of Christ? Why? That's the truth. Think about it. I'm just puzzled at a man that is on death row that would take the time to tell Timothy all these things about the world. All these things about people who love the world. All these things about people who are opposing the truth. He took the time when he's on death row to write to his son in the ministry because it's important to know, saints. That's amazing. Most people on death row, we talk about what they want for their last meal. But Paul is writing the word of God, chained in a dark dungeon, awaiting his execution, so that we may be able to read this today. Timothy. No one preaches or teaches the word of God with power if they don't use the word of God. No preacher or teachers are filled with the Holy Spirit if they are not coming from the word of God, period. Listen to this, saints. You can evoke emotion. You can make people feel good about themselves. But you cannot transform their life. You cannot transform generational sin without the word of God. You have to be biblical in your preaching and your teaching. Saints, life is going to be changed. No sin in your life is going to be conquered outside the word of God. So stop giving people what they don't need. Give them what they do need, which is the word of God. give them what they truly need. Verse 2. Be ready in season and out of season. Preaching the word of God is a never-ending task for a Christian. Young people, living out a holy life is a never-ending task in the midst of your peers. We will be doing it until Jesus Christ calls us home. You have to preach and teach the word of God regardless of the culture, regardless of the temperature of the church. It does not matter the climate of the church, whether it's favorable or unfavorable, whether it's popular or unpopular, whether it's offensive to the leaders, whether it's offensive to the minister, whether it's offensive to the deacon, whether it's offensive to the big wigs in the church, whether it's offensive to the blacks, whether it's offensive to the white, whether it's offensive to the Hispanic or the Japanese or Chinese, the Jews. You got to preach the gospel, Timothy. It don't matter who it offends. Because if you remember in verse 1, the calling that you have on your life, Timothy, is very serious. You can't shrink back when the temperature is hot. Parents, you can't shrink back when your kids have attitude. People in the church, you can't shrink back on preaching and teaching the truth. Because some people in the church have status. Timothy, preach the word. Parents, teach the word to your children. Don't shrink back on holding them accountable for his holiness. We have to be faithful to Christ and his word when it's tolerable or intolerable. Saints, yes, today, biblical preaching is out of season. So we are preaching and teaching in an era that is out of season for us. But this verse says, be ready. What does be ready mean? Stand beside the truth. Have an eagerness to preach the truth. There is a preparedness. Be prepared in season and out of season to teach the truth. There's a readiness. Be ready at all times to witness for the truth. Witness for the truth when it is not in fashion, saints. When it's not popular. When it's not safe. When it's dangerous. When it might cause you your life. Paul is reminding Timothy of the danger of preaching the gospel. But you got to be ready to do it, Timothy. Preach and teach the gospel with explosive eagerness, not reluctant, no hesitation, Timothy. Preach the gospel, Timothy. When you don't have anybody on your side in the church, stand for the truth. When people don't like it, stand for the truth, saints. Stop having Bible studies. Stop having Sunday school that don't talk about the truth. Everybody have their opinion, but there's only one truth, saints. We talk about political issues, race issues. That's the social gospel, saints. Why in the world will I come to the church and talk about a social gospel when this man is in a dungeon waiting on his execution and he took time to write the gospel, saints? Why in the world would I give something to you that I cannot help you with when it's my own opinion? Saints, this is a serious charge. And I keep saying this, but my mind is wrapped around the fact that this man is on death row. There's no going home. There's no house arrest. There's no 1129 suspended. This man is on death row. And he took the time while they shackled his on his arm to pen 2 Timothy for his son in the ministry. This is just an awesome man of God that in the midst of a church congregation that when everybody's going right and the scripture says go left, but in the midst of everybody going right, you stand on the word of God and say, that's not right. We need to go left regardless of what people say. That's an amazing person to me. Amazing person will tell a person, you need to come to Sunday school. You need to come to Wednesday night Bible study. You need to study the word of God. You need to stop going to clubs. You need to stop going to these social gatherings. You need to raise your children in admonition of the Lord. You need to live a holy life. You need to dress properly. In the midst of this world, when this is not popular, you have to stand on the truth. How many people are going to do that? And the sad thing about Paul, he said, many people have deserted me. Many people have deserted me. Look at Demas. He has deserted me. Look at Alexander. He has deserted me. But I'm still standing here in the midst of the gospel, in the midst of trying to get the gospel out to everyone. Amazing man. Look at the verse again. Verse 2, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. The goal of preaching and teaching is to reprove, rebuke, and to exhort. Preaching of teaching that fail to confront and correct through the word of God doesn't meet people's needs. It makes them feel good about their sins. Saints, people today don't want to hear the truth. But thank God for those that are faithful, that are mature in the word of God, that loves the truth. That's why surveys to find out what people need and want are useless in the church. Because the greatest need for every single person is to be delivered from their sins. The greatest need in the church is to be delivered from our sin. To be reconciled to reconcile sinful man to a holy God. To be confronted and conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. To be holy because God is holy. Saints, you don't need a survey to know what sin you have. The greatest need for a person in the church, saints, is for us to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. To make me more holy. And only the Word of God can do that. Saints, only the Word of God can do that. Only the Word of God can heal a troubling soul. Verse 2, in exhort. Exhort means to summons, to encourage sinners to lay down their sinful life and take up the cross of Christ. Rebuke, reprove, and exhortation must come from the word of God. Verse 2, with patience in teaching, be consistent and steadfast in your teaching. Don't ever give up the fight in preaching and teaching of the word of God, saints. Let's look at verse 3. For the time will come when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itch and ear, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Paul told Timothy, don't compromise in difficult times. Don't compromise the word of God when the heat and the going get tough. In verse 3, Paul gives Timothy 3 warnings. 1, difficult times will come. People will fall away from the faith. 2, 3, people will not want to hear the word of God. Paul is telling Timothy there's going to be some hard times. What you're going to encounter is people falling away from the faith. What you're going to encounter is people who don't want to hear the word of God. They don't want to listen to the word of God. That's old fashioned, the word of God. I don't want to hear the truth because I don't want you to stop me in my sin. We know that things that we want to do, we have a theology around it. We make excuses for our sins, saints. We can defend our sins, especially when we want to do it, saints. It doesn't matter what God's word says. I know what God's word says, but this is what I want to do. And then we charge it to the preacher as his opinion because that is something he want to do. It can be clear in the word of God, but we'll say, that's your opinion, minister. This is what I believe the word of God says. When people do not want to hear the truth, this is the time for courageous preachers and teachers to stand up and to fearlessly preach the truth. This is called out of season preaching. Saints, will you take the charge of Christ and preach the truth? Teachers of Love Fellowship, will you take this charge and preach the truth? Listen to Martin Luther. Listen to Martin Luther. I'm quoting him. If I confess with the loudest voice and the clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God, except that point where the world and the devil are attacking, I am not confessing Christ. I am professing Christ, meaning that at that point where the word of God is attacked, if I don't confess Christ at that particular point, I am pretending to be a Christian. Listen to this. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proven, saints. Not to stand or to be steady in battle, or to take flight or flinch at that particular point is a disgrace, Martin Luther says. Let me read that again. To not be steady on the battlefield, or your mindset is to take a flight, to move away, or to flinch or not even address the issue at that particular point in battle is a disgrace to Christ. And the famous quote, where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proven. At that point where people compromise the truth, saying that, okay, I can accept that, that's your opinion, that may not be that correct. At that point, if you don't confess Christ, you are professing Christ. At that particular point in battle, I don't know if shacking up is wrong, especially if you all are in separate bedrooms. It doesn't matter how it looks, but I really don't know if that's wrong, because two Christian people can have self-control, especially if they're in separate bedroom. And I heard crazy stuff we say, because we all have been there, saints. But I was listening on the radio, that prior to salvation, there was this couple, Christian quote-unquote couples, that was shacking up, that was fornicating. And their prayer to God was, God, keep us from getting pregnant. Now, we laugh at that, but we all been there when we're in sin. The prayer is, Lord, keep us from getting pregnant. The worldly people and the ones that oppose the truth don't want to hear biblical preaching because they love their sins. Listen to John 3:19. And this is judgment because we love our sin. The light has come into the world and people love the darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Why do people hate the truth? Because we love darkness rather than light. Our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. Biblical preaching and biblical teaching reproves and rebukes sin. People with their love for the world will not tolerate this because they want tickling ears. Solid preaching calls for truth and obedience, saints. Solid preaching and teaching call for you to embrace the truth and be obedient to this truth. The people with itching ears choose and shape their own preachers and teachers. I like a God that is nice, they say. I like the God that is only love. I don't want a God that talks about fire and hell and wrath and holiness and sovereignty and vengeance and punishment. Give me this God that only has love for me. I like a God that I can disobey whenever I feel like it. I don't want to be around a church that's going to hold me accountable when it comes to sin. I don't want to be a part of a group that is going to hold me accountable to living a holy life. I need to go to another church because who are you to be in my business? I want a God that is only a God of love to allow me to do whatever I want to do anytime I want to do it. I don't want parents that's going to tell me what's the difference between right and wrong. I don't want my parents holding me accountable as a saint of Christ. I don't want anybody in the church telling me that the way I teach is wrong. I want a God that I can do whatever I want to do. That's the type of God I want. I don't want no preachers telling women in the church the role that they have when it comes to the Bible. Because when it comes to culture, that's sexist. Today, the women is supposed to run the church because we outnumber the men. The men are not here. Therefore, we need to run the church. I don't want a God that says to me there is a biblical order in the church. I don't want the Bible. I don't want the letter of 2 Timothy. I don't want no one to challenge me in my teaching style. I don't want to have accountability among the teachers in the church. I don't want anyone to confront me when I'm teaching false doctrine. I don't want anything that is going to mess with my status in the church. I want this God to be created in my image. I don't want the real and true God. The people with itching ear would choose their own leaders. I know we all have different teaching style in the church, but I like when Minister Terman preach. I like when Minister Bray preach. I like when Pastor teach. I like his style. I don't want to hear Minister Terman. Think about it, saints. And I see you. You peep in the door. That's been a sermon, preacher. I'm going to go the other way. Fine with me. Don't hurt my feeling. My minister Bray teaching. Oh, I think I'm going to go home and do laundry today. My kids need homework. Who's teaching, Pastor? Mr. Thurman preaching. He's teaching too. Well, I think I'm going to work late today. But think about this, saints. Solid preaching and solid teaching commands obedience. It commands a holy life, not a perfect life, But you are consistently live holy. Holy. You're not practicing sin. I like to have a God that don't hold me accountable in a way that I spend his finances. I like the God that I can disobey. There's no cheap grace of easy believism in the scripture. Saints, true salvation is painful. True salvation is painful. Verse 4, and I will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myth. Listen to what R.C. Sproul said. Quote, Paul was not describing unbelievers who knew no better than to act like this. He was talking about church people who was exhorting Timothy to go after, he was exhorting Timothy to go after these church people, the ones that I named, opposed to the truth and love the world, and command them to change their ways or get out because their influence was affecting those around them. Paul is telling Timothy to go after the people that are worldly in the church, to go after people that oppose the truth in the church, and tell them to straighten up or to get out of the way. Saints, straighten up or get out of the way. Verse 4, I'm almost finished. This is a terrible ending of the two types of people in verse 4. Unless, saints, they turn to Christ. Saints, I don't want to ever give the impression that there's no room at the cross for us. I don't want to ever hint to anyone that they can be saved from any sin through the power of Jesus Christ. This is a terrible ending for these type of people. Reading and obeying the Bible when it comes to these type of people would not be a high priority for them. They would not want to hear the word of God. They wander off, in verse 4, into myth or fables, your Bible might say. False ideas and speculations from the world or culture about God and Christ and the teaching of the Bible. You have your opinion, and I have my opinion about the Bible. You have your opinion about the Bible, and I have my opinion about the Bible. That's what we say to one another. Oh, really? So, is the Bible not the inerrant truth? Does the Bible contain errors? If we have this view about Scripture, no wonder your life is going to be messed up. Saints, when there is no truth, you have no moral compass in life. When there's no absolute truth, you have no moral compass in the church. When there's no truth, you have no moral compass on how you should run a ministry in the church. You just have a lot of opinions about what we should do about the Word of God. There's no truth when you don't believe the Word of God. Saints, remember we are called to preach and teach the word of God in season and out of season. Saints, we are called to preach and teach the gospel in season and out of season. And think about this, saints, before I sit down. What kind of life are you living today? What kind of lifestyle do you have? What kind of friends do you have? What kind of social gathering do you go to? Because you can't live a holy life unless you are obeying the word of God, saints. We can't have a stable church unless the word of God is the absolute authority of the church. So I encourage those that are mature and living for Christ to be faithful to the word of God. Because, saints, remember, you have a charge from God and to Christ Jesus. And you're going to be judged based on this charge. And remember, as I take my seat, where the battle rages, there is where the loyalty of the soldier is proven. Where the battle rages, there is where the loyalty of the soldier is proven. So, saints, anytime someone is preaching the truth in the Word of God, and you oppose it, I know where you are. Especially if I'm coming out the word of God. But Paul is took this time to write this letter while on death row to give Timothy this charge. So let us pray.